Good morning. Welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine. In the studio, I have Mercedes Grody. How are you doing, Mercedes?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. Welcome back to the United States. Yay! How long have you been back?
I've been back for
a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You were a student at?
The University of Evansville.
U of E.
Yep.
Purple Aces.
Indeed.
Okay. You just got back from a trip. You didn't just get back. You spent a semester in where?
Well, I spent a semester in England, but if you want to be specific, it's in Harlingston, which is in Lincolnshire.
And well, okay.
Not terribly far away from London.
Okay. All right. So, how did you come to get this... First off, what are you studying?
I am majoring in history and minoring in philosophy.
History and philosophy. And that, of course, leads you to Harlingston, of course. The two just go together, right?
Yeah.
Why is that? For one thing, why is a trip like this available to you?
Well, the trip is available through the university because the university was gifted the manor.
Oh, okay. The manor.
Yes, it's called Harlingston Manor. They say it's Harlingston College, but it's actually Harlingston Manor, made by Gregory.
Gregory Gregory.
Yes.
Okay, and when was that made? Do you?
I do not recall.
It's
when
really
it was
old.
Made.
Huh?
It's very old. It's actually one of the last of it of its
so
kind.
So you stayed in sort of a castle.
You could call it a castle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. and this is all through the college because U of E has a Harlingston is like the sister college to U of E, right?
Yeah, it's a study abroad sister college.
Okay.
It.
All right. We are going to find out all about Harlingston, and Mercedes is going to fill us in on what she's doing at the University of Evansville here in just a few moments on the Community Connection. Stay tuned.
Budget doesn't have to be a scary word. Here to explain why is money expert Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
Every month, before the month begins, sit down and spend every dollar on paper on purpose. This is called a budget. Give every dollar a name. Then you stick to that budget. If you don't have the money in a category, you don't spend the money. You have to make your money behave. Otherwise, it'll get away from you. The first step in your journey begins by tuning in to your home for the Dave Ramsey Show in Fairfield, WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Mercedes Grody, and you spent a whole semester. So when did you leave for Harlingston?
Well, I left in January and I came back in May.
January to May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... for one thing, let's start with how you learned about the trip, that the trip was possible, and you decided to make the trip. What did your parents say when you said, well, you know, I really like to go over to England and study for a semester?
Well, originally in high school, I had been on a people-to-people trip for 3 weeks, which took me to England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and that was... for 3 weeks, so they knew I could survive in Europe, which I was quite confident I could survive in Europe, but my parents were just like, should you go? I think we'll let you go. You'll most likely survive. And I was like, well, the Brits are pretty nice, so I think I'll make it.
Oh, okay. And plus, everybody speaks English, right?
Generally, yeah. I mean, as long as you can understand the accent, you're pretty good, and I've always found that I'm pretty decent at understanding their accents.
Okay. So you hear about the trip, you apply for the trip, you tell your mom and dad, I want to take this trip, and you left out of St. Louis or Indianapolis?
I left out of Indianapolis.
Okay. And it wasn't...
No, I left out of Chicago.
Chicago.
It was the last one I had left out of Indianapolis, but this one I left out of Chicago.
Oh, okay. All right, so, and was it a direct flight from Chicago to London?
Yeah, it was a direct flight, 8 hours from Chicago to Heathrow.
Okay, and then when you landed at Heathrow, did you have to take the tube to the college? Or?
Actually, the tube is only for London. You can actually take a train if you want to get that far, but that will only get you to Grantham. We actually had a coach, or a, as we'd say in the States, a bus, come in and get us and drive us out. Most kids were conked out by the time we were on the coach because they were so tired. But I somehow fell asleep, amazingly, and then woke up within like 3 minutes of being at the manor. And I remember turning to the left, and I was like, am I going to know it's the manor? And then I went, ah, the manor. There it is. And Gregory, the guy who had this thing built, he made it out of limestone so it would glow in the sunlight. It's meant to glow gold in the sunlight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not gray bricks. It's gold bricks.
It looks like gold bricks. It does. Okay. If you go and stand on the hilltops opposite to it where the guy he did not like, his house is, you can definitely see it from your breakfast nook. It's very entertaining.
All right. Was there any adjustment? How many students were on the trip to Harlaxton?
Felt like 100-some. Probably was a bit more than 100-some.
Oh, okay. All right. And from all different areas of study at the college?
Yeah. We had kids from the University of Evansville. We had kids from several other universities. We had one girl from Florida.
Oh,
her university was like, hey, you want to go to England? And she was like, yes, I love to go to England.
All right. So you get to the manor. Do they assign you a room?
They do, yeah. You can either stay in two places. You can stay in the manor itself, which is quite fancy.
Okay.
Or you can stay in the carriage house where I stayed.
Oh.
I stayed in the carriage house, which is a good little jaunt from the manor. You have to it's actually in front of the manor. When you're walking on the grounds, it feels like it's behind the manor, but it's in front of it. And when you first walk out there and they tell you, you're going to be staying in the carriage house, you're like, oh. But then when you go to the carriage house, you're like, oh, this is a massive carriage house. Like, this is not, I pull up my one horse and carriage. This is like, this would have been like a two-floor carriage house.
Two floors, okay.
I suppose it would have been, since now they have it all converted into just student rooms.
It's not just a barn, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, it's not a barn. It's also made out of limestone as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, did you have, were there servants in the manor? Taking care of the manor?
There is a staff that stays at the manor. They're not servants because Gregory didn't have any kids.
Oh, okay.
So he only had the manor. So, like, he didn't have any kids to leave it to. He had other various relatives that really didn't know him that well, but they don't have servants today.
Okay.
They originally did, but not today. They just have a staff that makes sure that we are fed and housed.
Okay. All right. And was there anything odd about the carriage house that, and your room that you thought was out of place or you didn't expect?
If you've been in an old house, you'll see these squiggly boxes, and they're called radiators. In England, they use a lot of radiators. They don't really use heaters.
Okay.
Very often. So I was like, we had radiators in my house when we first moved in. Where did you get these? But the whole thing, the carriage house, the manor, all of it was heated with radiators.
Okay. And was it cold in January?
Quite cold, actually. The entire time I was there, it was very cold in the manor and the carriage house, both.
Oh, okay.
It's like one of those old day castles where you're just very cold all the time.
Okay. All right. We are talking to Mercedes Grody. We're talking about her trip to Harlaxton, England, her semester there, and we will talk more in just a few moments, so stay tuned to WFIW.
Hi, Mike Reith here, and I just helped the Wayne County Humane Society by nominating it for free cat litter from catspride.com. I went to the website, gave them my email address, and nominated the shelter here in Fairfield. If you do the same, it'll help with one of the greatest needs in caring for cats at the shelter. It's simple, there's no obligation, it took me a minute. So go to catspride.com, follow the prompt to the Wayne County Humane Society. It will help. Thank you.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Mercedes Grody, and we are talking about her trip, her semester in England at Harlaxton and at the Manor, Gregory. What were classes like in England? Were they taught by the professor you have here in Evansville, or?
No, we had a few professors who came over with us. We had a professor from Texas. I didn't know her before. She taught environmental science. I had a politic professor from the University of Evansville. I didn't know him before. Mm-hmm. My favorite professor, though, was actually one of the British staff, and his name was Dr. Bujak, and he's utterly hilarious. He has a quick joke for pretty much anything. He can never be taken off guard, really.
Oh, okay.
And he gave us quite a few World War II jokes and World War I jokes whenever someone would say something that they really didn't terribly know about but were trying to give a presentation about. He was like, oh, yes, I give you 4 months to make a presentation. You give me a handout.
Okay. Do you think the classes were harder in England than they were here or are here at University of Evansville?
I think they were a bit easier. The classes themselves were, some of them. British Studies was, I think, for myself, because I enjoy studying the history of Europe and Britain. So I kind of walked into that knowing quite a bit about it.
Okay.
But our deadlines come sooner because when you're traveling, you aren't doing homework 24/7 because you can't always take it with you. But for me, I felt like the classes were a little easier, but still it wasn't like, here's a coloring sheet, fill it out. It was like, please do make a research paper and do real research.
Okay. All right. So where did you do research at? Was it back at the Manor, or did you go into London to like the Natural History Museum or whatever?
Well, my research was done mainly at the Manor because the topic I had was the BBC in the interwar years.
Okay.
And that was kind of the BBC before they're going to really ramp up for World War II to start giving a lot of propaganda like they did, giving a lot of information and a lot of propaganda. So it's kind of like, what was the BBC doing before we knew about the BBC in America? It was pretty funny, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's nationally controlled radio.
Yes.
And television.
Yeah, they also have television. Their television came quite a bit later, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you take any side trips from the Manor?
Did I go anywhere besides the Manor?
Yeah.
Or I did, yeah. One of my, I mean, it was kind of advertised as a smaller trip because it was a day, but a trip that I really, really quite enjoyed was to Bletchley Park.
Okay.
And Bletchley Park is where Alan Turing, he worked to break the Enigma code of the Germans in World War II.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might have seen the movie Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they film quite a bit how it would have looked back then. But, I mean, the huts, they had to rebuild. But you can go and visit it. It's very cool.
Oh, okay. All right. And did you travel into France or Spain or Italy?
Indeed, I did.
Okay.
I went to Paris, France. I also went to Versailles when I went to France.
Mm-hmm.
And in Versailles, there's a little something called the Palace of Versailles. It's not little, it's actually very big. To me personally, a really cool thing that I saw there was the Hall of Mirrors. And this is where the Treaty of Versailles was actually signed. And they had conferences afterwards to end World War I.
Oh, okay.
And when you walk in, it's just, you walk in and like you've seen a black and white picture of just hundreds of guys in suits sitting, staring at the front of this room, and there's just mirrors lined on both walls of it.
Huh.
And you don't realize how big it is until you actually walk in there and you're like, wow, this is like, I'm standing where the leaders of Europe and just the royals of France. It's right. Amazing.
Okay. So you went to France. You went to Paris. Let's talk, because we're going to talk food in the next segment. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Did you also go to Greece? Did I see you?
I didn't go to Greece. A friend of mine went to Greece. I went to Italy. I went to Rome and Florence and Venice.
Oh, Rome, Florence, and Venice.
Yes.
That had to be a side trip. So why did you go to those three cities?
Well, it was the last trip that would be offered for the semester. Like, basically the semester was over, and either you could go to Italy or you could say goodbye to your study abroad and go home. So
you wisely chose Italy.
I wisely chose Italy. I had never been that far into Europe before.
Okay.
Until Italy.
All right. How was Italy?
It was very interesting. I never thought I would be standing in front of the Colosseum.
Uh-huh.
I've always, as a history major, I've looked at pictures of the Colosseum, and I was like, oh, wouldn't that be cool to stand in the Colosseum? Well, you can! For a small price of an admission ticket and also a plane ticket. You've got to get yourself there somehow. I mean, I guess you could build a raft and try to go that way. I wouldn't suggest it, though.
Okay.
But you can stand in the Colosseum.
Okay.
It's very, very cool.
What about Florence?
Florence has a lot of food.
Okay.
And it also, it's very famous for their leather market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very interesting. You walk down these rows of tents, and you get this feeling, if you've been out to the fairgrounds when they're having an auction and they have tents outside, you're like, oh, auction tents. But you walk down there, and it's not auction goods. They're leather goods.
Oh, okay.
They have any type of bag and suitcase and glove and... I think I even saw a pair of leather pants, but I'm not sure if they were pants or not. They could have just been chaps, but they kind of looked like pants.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We will be back. We'll talk about the food in just a few moments, so stay tuned here to WFIW. We're talking to Mercedes Grody.
This is where some people try to hit capitalism, and they try to say capitalism removes this social welfare net. That's not capitalism that is responsible for it, it's selfishness. That's the problem. I think that when you are blessed, through that you bless other people, because that's what I think you're supposed to do. The reason that we are in the position that we are is because people don't do that. This is not something that you can mandate through the government. Tune in to The Dana Show, 7 to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on WFIW AM 1390 and FM 103.3.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to U of E student. You're a junior now, right?
I'm going to be a senior.
You're going to be a senior.
Yep. Okay. This will be my fall semester, my senior year.
Power through, right?
I sure hope so.
Okay. Mercedes Grody, she is majoring in history and philosophy, a minor in philosophy.
Indeed.
Okay. And what are you going to do with that when you get done? Poet fix-it shop or what?
Well, I would like to either work in a history museum, like a World War II museum, or to be a college professor.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. You'd be good at both. All right, let's talk about the food. What did it take some time to get used to the food in England?
Well, a little bit. When you go to England, do not expect anything from America. It just isn't there. If you want to go to a McDonald's, chicken nuggets don't exist in England. If you like chicken nuggets, you must go to Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And not even Northern Ireland, because you're still in the United Kingdom. You've got to go all the way to the Republic of Ireland to get a chicken nugget. You see, I didn't
sounds
realize.
Like you know from experience that you have to go all the way to the Republic of Ireland.
Yes. I went into a McDonald's and I went, thank you, Ireland. There are chicken nuggets. You know, Ireland is amazing. You go there and the scenery is beautiful. The people are friendly. The chicken nuggets are great.
I don't think I've ever heard that about Ireland. Okay. But you went to Ireland on a separate trip, not on this trip, right?
I went during my study abroad, but I did not go at the time I went to Italy.
Okay.
I went way earlier in the semester.
Oh, okay. All right. So Did you have beans and toast for breakfast?
You see, I don't like toast. Oh, okay.
Not the beans, it's the toast.
It's the beans and the toast. I just, you see, I love English food just as much as anyone else.
Okay.
And if the English go, try this, I'll try it. I mean, I ate haggis and liked it.
Okay.
And that's in Scotland. That was when I went last time. But, I mean, I tried the beans and toast. I'm sorry, England. I love you, but I can't eat the beans and toast. Just can't.
Okay. So did you have the blood sausage?
I did not, no.
Okay. What is the strangest thing you had?
Well,
while you were there.
Strangest thing that I had. This isn't even English.
Right.
I went to... I was still in England. We were in London. Two friends and I, we literally had no clue where we should eat. But we did know that we do like Japanese food and Chinese food.
Okay.
So we just went into this little Japanese shop and we ate as much fried rice as we physically could. which I've eaten fried rice here, but I mean, it tastes different.
Okay.
Things that you've had, like, it's like Pringles. Only one side of the Pringle is salted in England. Only the bottom side of the Pringle is salted in England. Sodas.
They have their Pringles well trained.
They do. Sodas, they actually don't have a lot of sugar in the sodas. So, like,
okay.
if you wake up in the morning, you're like, I need to drink a soda to be awake. You're not going to be awake.
Okay.
You're just not.
What is the food you miss from from your English trip?
The food I miss from England. You know, I will say, I'll be one of the first people to say, I love potatoes.
Uh-huh.
I like potatoes that are not at the manor. I've got to say that. But, I mean, when you're eating potatoes, you love potatoes. But when you're eating potatoes every day, you begin to question how much you love potatoes. It's almost like I kind of had this joke. I was like, did they ever tell them that we can stop rationing and stop only eating potatoes? But, you know, they have so many ways to fix potatoes in England. You could eat potatoes every day in a different way.
Okay. All right. What about meals in France?
France is pretty interesting. I don't even know what I ate in France. I couldn't tell you the name of what I ate. It was pretty good. I ate some...
Chicken or beef or
it was
some combination
like a,
of both? Lamb?
It was like a hamburger.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure all that was on it. It was an interesting little hamburger in France.
Okay.
I think I had... what did we eat? Oh, it's meringue. But it's like this crunchy thing. In France, it's not like meringue here. It's like this little crunchy ball of... It looks like styrofoam. I'm really not sure how they make it, but
okay.
It is pretty good.
But it's good. Okay.
It is.
And Italy?
Oh,
still dreaming about the pasta?
I love the pasta in Italy. They have something called... It's like a cheese and pepper.
Okay.
And see, Alfredo sauce does not exist in Italy. That's just America. I don't know how we made that one up, but apparently we decided, ooh, let's make this up and call it Italian. It's not a thing as far as I found in Italy. But cheese and pepper is extremely good. I would highly recommend it, and I wish we had it here.
Okay. Did you eat anything on the street?
Well, we went to a noodle shop along the street, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We literally, for the entire time we were in Italy, like, especially in Venice, day after day after day, it was eating pasta.
Okay.
I've never ate that much pasta in my life. And it was great. You could literally eat yourself into a food coma on just pasta.
Okay.
It's that good.
All right. All right. Do you think you learned more this semester than you would have if you had stayed in America?
I absolutely think I did.
Okay.
When you go somewhere, like if you go just for vacation, and let's say you're there for like a week, or even like how I did the first time, 3 weeks, you're seeing only the surface. When you stay there for from January to May.
Four months-ish.
Yeah. You're really... A thing that I enjoyed personally myself was studying how Brexit is affecting Britain. I mean, they're still working through Brexit.
Right.
And Dr. Bujak would always tell us whenever we're just like, Dr. Bujak, what's going on with Brexit? He's just like, you're in the same boat as I am. We have no clue. And I'm like, lovely. So when we had our trip to London, I was like, I'm going to Parliament. I want to know what happens in Parliament. Did you know you can go up there, you can find your member of Parliament, and I don't know who the new one would be for Grantham and Lincolnshire, because he actually was switched out for somebody else. But you can actually ask your member of Parliament, hey, give me a ticket. I want to come watch you all yell at each other. And you absolutely can. You can go to the House of Commons, the House of Lords, and you can sit in the top and watch them yell.
Okay.
It's wonderful. It's great. I didn't do that, but I've heard that you can.
Right.
Apparently the most eventful thing that's happened so far is one of the members of Parliament, he decided he didn't like the rulings of Brexit. So there's this this mace, and it's like this big, long, wooden thing with this metal end on it, and it's supposed to represent like an old-day mace. But whenever the mace is on the table in its holder, Parliament is in session, and everything that's said or done is on the books, and they still write them down in books, and if you want to go and read the sessions of Parliament, you can walk right outside and read them.
Okay.
Well, this guy decided he did not like this move that was being made, so he picks up the mace and makes to run with it outside. And he's tackled.
That'll stop the writing.
And he is tackled. And this is actually filmed, but it is not in the books for Parliament, because when the mace was picked up, the pins were put down because Parliament was not in session. So the guy was tackled, and they're just like, you're getting out of here. Get out. And they escorted him out, and they put the mace back on, and the writers were like, all right, Parliament's in session. Let's
go. Begin again. So what would you say to other students who are considering studying abroad?
I would say absolutely you should. I highly recommend it. You learn much more, not just about like the place you go, but you learn about the people, the history of the place. Like when you walk into a place and you're just there to be like a tourist, you're not getting these stories that like the people in Grantham, whenever we would come in, they'd be like, hey, would you like to come to church with us? Like, I had never been to like an Anglican Church of England service or anything, but I was like, I'll go to find out what it is. So I went, and after it was over, I mean, you don't get that kind of a tour with them if you just randomly show up, but if you actually go and be like, hey, I'd like to be a member of your community. Sometimes there's a stereotype that the English aren't very welcoming or nice.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. I mean, if you're not there being what they call the typical rude American, the English are very accepting of Americans. They enjoy talking to you.
Okay.
They really do. They like to share these like local pieces of history. Like there's the church we went in, there's actually graffiti from Isaac Newton. And they don't show that to normal people,
right.
But they're like, oh, you're Harlequin students, come in.
Isaac Newton, he was a troublemaker. You know he was.
Yeah. But you get these experiences with people who, if you were just there for a few days, you wouldn't stop and talk to. Like in my own experiences, the Irish are some of the most welcoming people you're going to meet. They're hilarious. They have great stories. And mm-hmm. if you don't even have to, like, buy a pint of Guinness or anything when you go into a pub. You can just sit down and say, hey, how you doing? I want to talk to you. I've never met anyone who's Irish before. I'm from America. And they're like, oh, great. I'll talk to you. Come on over.
Let me tell you all my stories.
They will.
Okay. All right, Mercedes, it sounds like you had an excellent time.
I absolutely did.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for being my guest today, okay?
Well, thank you for having me on.
No problem. And that is going to do it for today.